So let me begin by again thanking everyone for coming and welcoming you, and welcoming also all of those who are watching online or will watch online. You know, this annual event of World Brotherhood Day is truly now a World Brotherhood event. It goes out all around the world. We get comments as we travel from people who will say things like, oh, I love that slide that you showed, or that story was so impressive. And so we know that lots and lots of people are sharing this event all around the world. And it's a very, very important event. For those of you who are new to it or newer to it, it started out as the thought that the very first gift of the year, the Christmas gift of the year, should be not for ourselves, but for bringing light into the world. And so the first gift of the season, which all of you or most of you will be giving a gift toward that this evening, is in order to bring light without any selfish purpose, just to share, just to give, just to be a channel of God's light into the world to help others. You know, Master and the great masters came with a very, very important divine mission. It was the change of ages from Kali Yuga to Dwapara Yuga, and it was the beginning of the change of just people thinking in terms of form, of us four and no more, and it was the beginning of the movement toward true world unity. As we know, that still has a long ways to go, and not only in this country, but all around the world. Nonetheless, that's the impulse, is to look at this planet as one planet, all the people on it as one family, and more than just in a vague and amorphous and impersonal sense, that from our hearts we actually care about the welfare of other people. And that we're willing to do something in order to improve the lives of other people. That was Master's mission, the great impulse. If you think of what he faced when he came to this country, the bastion of materialism, yes, but in many ways, the first Dwapara Yuga country in the world. We didn't have, Davy and I, we're going to share a slideshow where we'll show, well, we'll show one slide of Italy, because that's all we had. Lots of slides of India, because somebody put them together for us. Nonetheless, we'll share these, the trip around the world, and this sense of the light spreading throughout the planet, and that the planet is growing smaller, and that the planet is growing toward being really one family, is growing and growing. But in the midst of that, there's a kind of a growing sense of social unity, one might say. Right now we're having a temporary hiccup with that, but that will pass, because Dwapara Yuga is, as I've used the image before, it is melting the ice, the separate blocks of ice that form the forms of Dwapara Yuga. And as that melts, the water there can't be contained in the same way. And so there's still some attempt to separate that, but that won't last long. But I don't want this to be anything like a political thing. I'm talking here about a very, very important spiritual principle, that the consciousness of an expanding world, of an expand, that begins with us as individuals, as our consciousness truly does expand, it not only embraces, but encloses everybody else. And in the midst of that expanded consciousness, we cannot even begin to think of excluding or not wanting to bring light or bring happiness to other people. We've been especially blessed because we have a mode of expression for that universal desire. When Master came, he came not only with kind of vague teachings, he brought the ancient traditions, the ancient principles that are the bedrock of consciousness, not belonging to one culture, not belonging to India, not belonging anywhere. It's the bedrock of the truth of the universe. He brought a new expression of that. And imagine coming into this country. Yes, it was the Dwapara Yuga country, the one born at the time of the beginning of Dwapara Yuga. So it doesn't have the long tail like Italy and India of traditions. But then on the other hand, it doesn't have the long tail like Italy and India of traditions. And there's a sense, well, we can just make up truth. We can make up what reality is. And Yogananda came to give us a new expression of those basic fundamental unifying principles. And for us to be able to be a part of a family that shares that and is able to help God through Master enable change and upliftment on the planet is a very, very blessed life. What else would we be doing if we couldn't help people? You know, I was just meditating this morning and it came to my mind that one of the questions that will be asked when we pass and our soul goes up and there's kind of some entity there that helps us with a life review, one of the basic questions, Swami has said, the single question would be, how much did you love? That's all that matters. But an expression of that was, how much did you give in order to help uplift people? And how much of your energy went in order to push people down? And if we have this blessed life, this blessed opportunity of having a worldwide family dedicated to helping uplift people, it is a very special and very precious life. So I thank you for leading it with us, for helping this light expand throughout the world. It's gone now from one small room in San Francisco to centers and hundreds of thousands of people around the world who are being affected by it. So thank you. And we still have a big adventure ahead of us.
Well, I also want to wish you all a very, very happy Christmas. And since we're celebrating World Brotherhood, Feliz Navidad, and Buon Natale, and Joyeux Noel. And when we were in India, we stayed repeatedly at this hotel in Delhi, and so we got to know the staff pretty well. Repeatedly, meaning we'd stay there, then we'd go somewhere else. We'd come back to Delhi, then we'd go somewhere else. And then finally, one of the waiters in the restaurant, this very sweet young man, said, "Are you going to be spending more time in India?" And I said, "Yes." "Then you should learn Hindi, because otherwise you're always a foreigner." And he said, these waiters are boys from villages that leave villages and come to the cities for betterment. And then he said to me, "You know what they say, when in Rome." So that's our next task, is to learn a little basic Hindi. So in any case, in the songs, the beautiful songs we heard, there's that one line from The Christ Child's Asleep. And, you know, Swami, as an aside, Swami's presence is so strongly in the music. It's just so beautiful to hear the music and to feel Swami's vibration. But that one line in the Christ Child is asleep, the animals awake, they're sleep, breathing, they obey, they know the time has come to arise. And that one line, just that they know their time has come to arise. And that's what is true for Ananda. We've been building it these 50 years. Next year is a year of great significance. This magnificent temple that we went over there the other day and meditated there. Just extraordinary. Two-thirds done, and the power is as though it's as strong as the sacred places we visited in India. And Nakula, the foreman, most of you know, he said, we're not really building it. We're trying to capture what already exists. And that's what we're trying to do with these World Brotherhood communities and with the spirit of World Brotherhood. We can't build it. We're just trying to capture what already exists. And now the time has come for us to arise, not with a, you know, messianic mission, we're going to convert the world, but just to stand up and say, World Brotherhood is possible. Harmony is possible. Simplicity of life is possible. Living for others, not only possible, but optimal, that produces the greatest happiness. And so the world is looking, they're looking, where is truth? Where is reality? Where is meaning? Where is purpose? And quietly, humbly, Ananda has been growing in all these years and establishing itself. And now the time has come, 50 years and next year. And the time has come to arise where we just say, look, world, here's something that's of value. Take what you like of it. But this is true and it's real and it works. So this spirit of, what is the spirit of Christ consciousness? On Saturday, we'll be having our long meditation. I know a number have already happened. But in these meditations, we try to just dwell in the Christ consciousness. We meditate, but don't think that it's just about doing techniques. It's not just about techniques. It's about dwelling in Christ consciousness every moment, drawing that, saying, I don't want to be anywhere else but in Christ consciousness. And that spirit is so strong now. Well, what, you know, Master has written volumes on Christ consciousness and Swamiji. And I have to tell you, we felt people's, all of your prayers so strongly. Really, we could not do these trips. I can't say it sincerely or deeply enough. We could not do what is asked of us during these trips without the prayers and support from all of you here, and the prayer and the grace and the blessings of Swamiji and Master. We were on the, this is an aside, and then I'll close briefly because we want to go on to the slides, but we were flying home. The trips back from India are always so interesting. They're like, I don't know, 24, 30 hours. And you always leave in the middle of the night because that's when the flights leave. So we flew from Delhi to Mumbai. So that was one day. And then we spent the night in Mumbai, then got up in the middle of the night, flew from Mumbai to London. And it's like day and night, and where are you? And, you know, are you supposed to eat something or not? You know, and it just all becomes this incredible blur. And so it was on the flight from Mumbai to London, and I woke up, and it's dark, of course, on the airplane, and you kind of fumble around for the remote and click on it, and you can get the flight information to get some point of groundedness. Where am I in this world? And then this big map comes up on the screen, and where were we? But we were flying over not only Romania, but Ploiești, where Swamiji lived. And there was a map of Ploiești. I'd never seen Ploiești on a map before. And it was like, okay, Swami, we can make it home. But they've written volumes on World Brother, on Christ consciousness. But what is it? You know, we'll be meditating on it and trying to draw it. but it's, and of course it's many levels, but in part it's to feel the unity with all creation, with all life, animals and plants and everyone. There's no difference. That's what Christ came to show us. Who are my brothers and my sisters, but those who love God. And who are my brothers and sisters? Those who don't love God. Those who push God away and are afraid of God. Those who are cruel and those who are selfish. They're all our brothers and our sisters, and we can't see any division. And this is the Christ consciousness, and it moves us to the depths of our being. I was watching the singers, and they could barely contain themselves, nor could I, from crying, because you just feel, I don't want anything else but that. I don't want anything else but to feel that unity with all of life. And we are given the opportunity to experience that through our Guru's grace, through the techniques he's given us, through the incredible teachings and guidance that he's given us, and through our communities, sharing the light with others. Walking into that temple the other day and watching the builders work there, I just thought, this is God in action. It was very, very moving to me. So the time has come for Ananda to arise and to show the world the possibility of living for God and living in God. And this World Brotherhood Day is a way that we affirm that. And we delayed this event because we got back later. But in a way, I like having it later in the season, closer to the long meditation, because it ties it together. It's about affirming that Christ consciousness is what ties all of creation together. So now we'll have some show and tell, and we're going to... We didn't meet him in India. Okay, so we need lights off.
So we don't have a slide, but really the journey started with the dedication of the Temple of Light here, because we took that event and that light and began to bring it all over the world with us. We spent about 3.5 weeks in Italy. We did Kriya initiations and book launches and classes on the books. And anyway, give you a little sense. You've probably, most all of you have experienced the week of Spiritual Renewal Week. We had a 4-month Spiritual Renewal Week. So.
And these flags that you see, they're beautiful. We were so struck by them. We said, we mentioned to a few people there, they're made out of a special sailcloth that's used for sailboats, so they don't deteriorate. The color stays true, and the fabric doesn't deteriorate. And we were saying, oh, it would be so wonderful if we could have some for our 50th anniversary. And Assisi gifted us 40 of them.
50. Wow. 50 flags for 50 years.
Yeah, so we have most of them here already. And so we'll have these beautiful flags set up all around for the 50th anniversary.
Is somebody going to turn these lights off?
Yeah, it'd be nice if we could turn off more lights.
They're shining right on the
station.
No, the big
piano. Okay, so this is...
Here we are arriving in India.
And this was, you know, we've got them labeled, so... We started off, it isn't really in chronological order, but what we found everywhere, yes, there are new centers, yes, there are more people coming, but it's not about numbers, it's about the depth.
Turn that thing off, please.
Yeah. Depth and dedication. We can do it. Yay! And so this was new disciples at the Gargan Center. And there was also new sevakas and people who had just graduated from yoga teacher training. So what we see happening is people coming forward, not just to take classes, but to say, I will do this. I will make this my life. And we launched Touch of Joy, which, again, everything in India is much more than it is here. So, you know, there would be many, many people lined up to have us sign books.
Every center in India has either very recently moved into a new and bigger space or is planning to, and in Mumbai that's simultaneous. We finally, after 5 years of or more of the monks and Sagar going there and just doing in rented space, now we have our own Ananda Center. And so it would took 5 years to manifest that. And for big occasions, it's already too small. But we'll handle that later on. This gives you a sense of the center.
And this happened later in the trip, but we went down and we had two Kriya initiations. These were all first-time Kriya, new Kriya bonds. And then after, you know, they have to stack everything up because people are basically free only on weekends. So after we did this, then they went on to a second Kriya initiation. And that was another group that Diana and Devrishi did.
One of the major events was about a year ago, our friend Dr. Aditya wanted to do something big, and he conceived of doing a concert for 2,500 people, the biggest concert hall in Pune. And these are two of the most famous musicians in India. And so,
Shiv Kumar with the cerebra of white hair, and Hari Prasad, who is the flautist. That they've been playing together for 50 years.
And many, many soundtracks of movies, and they've been given the highest awards. So Aditya said, well, let's have a concert with them for 2,500 people. And it would be, I don't know, like Atman saying, let's put on a concert in Nevada City for 3,000 people.
And having never organized anything like that.
Never organized, he'd only been to one concert.
And so it was a benefit for the work, the Yogananda Trust in Vrindavan for the widows there. So it drew a large crowd, and it was really, it's available on YouTube. Yeah, that you can see. And it just an extraordinary experience. If you haven't listened to it, if you're interested, I've never heard anything quite like it. I've heard, you know, recordings of Ravi Shankar, but the interplay between the musicians and the it was just like spontaneous, and yet with years of training.
You can see the instrument that Shiv Kumar is playing is like a hammered dulcimer, but it has 100 strings, so.
And we had breakfast with them the next morning. Shiv Kumar, he's the white-haired man from Kashmir, he said he's read autobiography many, many times, and he said in class, in higher ages in India, music was seen as a path to God, and that's how they approach
it,
and you can feel
music and
that.
Meditation are, yeah, two parts of the same vibration.
So there's people in the crowd. Sri Kartikeyan, the gentleman in the suit, who some of you met him during when we blessed the Moksha Mandir. He'll be coming for the 50th. He's really a global humanitarian and very supportive. And then the woman
This is Dr. Aditya.
Who organized it, yes.
And this is Diana, and the woman next to her is Pia Singh. And she will be coming in about 3 weeks, and we will have a big satsang to talk about the big project of the Institute.
And then this is their city center, which again, you can see Pranaba and Parvati were there visiting, and this was a satsang we did. And
in India, everybody comes up for a blessing, and unless you are somehow able to prevent it, they go to everybody for a blessing. So, takes a long time.
And then sometimes they come back again.
Yeah, yeah.
Weren't you here already? And then we did a large public talk in Pune as well.
One of the fun things was we did an exhibition, an art exhibition. And so this is the center, but they turned it into a gallery. And so about 30 paintings, including five originals, were there.
And all the proceeds went to, they do a lot of programs, art programs for children. So all the proceeds went to help develop their art for children. And we sold virtually everything.
We sold all the originals and many, many of the prints. So we raised a couple of $1,000 for the helping the children there.
And then we had another highlight was this All India retreat we had at a place called Khandala, which is halfway between Mumbai and Pune in a very beautiful area. And it's the first time we'd tried anything like this. There were 160 people, as you can read, for a three-day retreat. And it was just really magnificent. 130 were people we knew, but there were 30 brand new people that came in. We really, the place couldn't hold anymore. I mean, there were 7 empty rooms. That was all out of, I forget the total. But anyway, we're already planning to do it again next year. And it was just fabulous. It was like a spiritual renewal week. We had classes in the morning, concerts and kirtan in the evening, classes in the afternoon, wonderful meals outside and sharing. And because India is, people are much more located in a specific city. So they got to meet, oh, you're from the Pune Center, oh, you're from Mumbai, oh, you're from Bangalore. And so they all got to meet and feel like, oh, we're part of All India. So it was just, you know, the last morning we said, how many people want to come back next year? And they all raised their hands. So. Yeah.
One of the really touching things is that we launched the autobiography of a yogi in Hindi in Braille. And they showed a short little clip of a young man who was blind and the teacher. And the cover of the book is pixelated so that a blind person can feel. And so the teacher was saying, okay, feel this. Now, what do you feel? And the young man kind of felt around. He said, oh, there's his hair. And there are his eyes and his nose and his lips. And it was just so touching that they're able to make that connection.
They're giving it, it was sponsored by a donor, and they're just giving these books away to centers for the blind throughout India. And this, at the end of the last meal, this little girl, her parents are key members of the Pune community. It was her birthday, last day of the retreat, so we surprised her with a big birthday cake. And
then we had a big spiritual fair in Delhi. We have a wonderful, wonderful ashram in a very nice section of Delhi, although now all of Delhi is clogged with traffic. Nonetheless, it's a beautiful section of Delhi. And so we had a big spiritual fair there. Many classes, half-hour classes, maybe 10 or 15 going on all day long, and a couple of major talks.
This is their main temple, but it couldn't hold everybody, so there was a screen, spillover screen. We go to the next slide. Yeah, so that's the people outside, and this is the back garden of the ashram, and you can see there are these marvelous statues, murtis, of the gurus, and they do a lot of programs out there. So this was the rest of the people watching the talks.
This is normally open, but it was threatening rain that day. So 2 days ahead, they had this crew come in and erect a tent, a pandal, over the back garden. And about 600 or 700 people came and mostly spent the whole day.
And then this was another wonderful highlight. You see Devarshi there on the left, and with great perseverance, the monks, they had been based in Pune, but just living in apartments, separate apartment buildings, and it was very difficult for them to meditate together, serve together, build group unity. So they found in this beautiful we'll call it a subdivision, but it's more like estates.
Gated community, yeah. Of estates.
And just briefly, we told some of you this story. Gorov, one of the monks, they were looking for a rental place. They couldn't find anything. And then he was driving, and he saw this big sign, Summer Hill Estates. And he just pulled in there, not knowing why. And there was this big locked gate with a guard, and the guard said, "What do you want?" And somehow Gorov just pulled it off, and he said, "I want to talk to the manager." And the man was intimidated. He said, "You mean Harish?" "Yes, Harish." And so Harish, you know, they said, "Harish, there's some people to see you." And they came down, and he said, "Well, we don't rent. These are people build, and they come here for vacations." And anyway, they talked them into renting it, and they talked them into renting it for way below what they were asking. So this is our monastery.
So they have two houses about 2 minutes walk from each other.
And they invite, we were the first group other than the monks. You can see there was Jaya, Sadhana, Dhyana. You can't, Narayani is invisible, but Sherjo and Narayani. So we were the first people that, other than the monks, who came. And we meditated, and they served us a very nice lunch.
And you can see just the back porch of the house, but it's about, I don't know, 5 or 6 bedrooms. And so at this particular one, they all work together. They send out correspondence or a home study course, mainly now through the internet. And they get so many applications, so many sign-ups, that the limiting factor is how many mentors they have to work with people. But they turn it on, meaning that the public announcement that you can sign up, they turn it on for about 8 hours or so, and they get so many sign-ups they have to shut it off. But they're building up the systems, and within a year they will have at least 1,000 students at a time moving through all of the steps up toward receiving Kriya. Of course, they start out bigger and then some drop out, but.
So this is us arriving in to do programs in Chennai, one of the most devoted groups. And by the way, people have been saving from all these different centers all year long so that they can come to the 50th. And they just don't have the resources that we do. So this is where Dharmaraj and Dharmini are. And this is inside the center. This is their core group. And this was before a big public talk that Kartikeyan came and introduced us. So it was.
This is one of the, they call them hoardings, not billboards, but kind of big billboard kind of things. There were 40 or 50 all throughout the city, so.
This is their choir. Darmini is in the foreground. She's the choir director, and she's very good. And they have a good choir there, and she's actually going around to the different centers now and helping them get their choirs together. But it's so charming to hear, to see all the beautiful Indian faces singing Swami songs. And then this is a center that's been going for a number of years, but they just, again, moved into a new, larger facility. The man in the very back against sort of an orange wall hanging, his name is Abhishek. He'll be coming, and he's the center leader there. And the woman to the right is Sangeeta, who is the head of Ananda Publications, the director. She has been with Ananda since almost day one, and has just devoted her life to getting the books out. They're now out in 16 different regional languages. So everywhere we went, okay, we're launching How to Meditate in Tamil, in Hindi.
Yeah. Marathi, she's a force of nature. Single-handedly, she releases about 20 books a year.
And that's just the satsang there.
Many, many, many satsangs.
Many, many questions, too. So this is our team up at Abbot Mount.
This is
obviously Diana.
I'll come back, but this is the view from essentially where we're standing.
And that's in the center, slightly covered in mountain clouds, is Nanda Devi. To the right, that very pointed one is...
That's Nanda Devi there.
Yeah. And to the, that's Panchachuli. Anyway, they're beautiful, beautiful peaks. And they come out when they want to. You never know if they're going to be visible or not. But this is the view from this little retreat house that we go to.
Oh, I want to back up, because we'll talk of... Oh, what happened?
Okay. We can do it.
We can do it. There.
Okay, so that's...
Every year, the four of us, this is Diana, Pia, and Devi and me, we go to Abbot Mount, which is essentially a retreat house, and in the Himalayas, as you could see. And it's there that all, not all, but a great deal of the inspiration for the expansion of the work in India comes. And so we went there specifically to try to draw the inspiration from Babaji and Master about forming of the new institute. The institute, Pia's family is the largest builders of house builders, malls, those kinds of things in all of India. And her father wants to create a temple and an institute for the upliftment of people. And so she especially feels that it's her life work. She's completely a disciple of Master. So this institute in the heart of Delhi, which is meant to be a world-class institute on the level of Harvard and Stanford and all of those, and they have the resources to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be completely based on Master's teachings, and basically based, she said that reading, again, the Bhagavad Gita, essence of the Bhagavad Gita, Master says millions will find God through this scripture. And she said, how is that going to happen? Well, the Institute can help make that happen. So we were there to draw the inspiration of forming the Institute and forming the core of the curriculum. And a great deal of clarity has come. And so during Inner Renewal Week, we will be presenting the four classes for the what we call the signature course, which will be a weekend course that will be the primary course that people will come to start their journey. And it's meant to bring Master's teachings to a large audience. So without changing the teachings, but not coupling it necessarily with discipleship to a particular path, but just for those who want upliftment of consciousness.
And Pia and Diana will be coming the week of January 16th, and we'll be having a whole satsang where we really talk in depth about the Institute. It's Pia's first visit to Ananda America. And that was the end.
I'll be very brief. I just wanted to say that now is the part of the program where we move into the opportunity to give our first gift of the season from our hearts to God in gratitude for this incredible work and everything that Jyotish and Devi have shared with us. We can take, feel, and turn around and give back for their service, for our service, for just this incredible opportunity to lift up ourselves and lift up the world. So you have your little envelopes, and you can fill those out. And we'll move into the ceremony here, which will be an opportunity like in Sunday service where we can come up, we can make our offering, and you can receive a blessing. You will also receive a little gift. It may not be a surprise this year because it's playing off of last year. So last year we got Master for our Christmas tree, and this year we get Babaji. So that'll, you know, we get the Masters with us to celebrate social Christmas and spiritual Christmas. So we'll do that, and we'll close with a prayer, and then we'll move into a celebration in the dining room, which is really a gratitude celebration. Many, many hands make this miracle, and every one of you are major parts of the miracle in every single way. And so this is our chance to thank each other for our service and for being together in divine friendship. And it's a great, great joy. And if you're watching online, there's a little button. And you can just pray and receive, you know, receive the blessing and give, and bless you very much.
Let's close now. Please stand. Let's just do a visualization for World Brotherhood, feeling the light of our great gurus, and especially Christ in this season. Going out to all the world, reminding people of the light within them, and to look for that light within themselves, and to look for that light in all others. So let us send out the blessings of God, Christ, and Guru. Together, Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Friend, Beloved God, Great Master,
Jesus Christ,
Babaji Krishna,
Lahiri Mahashaya,
Swami Sri Yukteswarji,
Beloved Guru,
Paramahansa Yogananda, Saints of all religions, we humbly bow to you all. O infinite Christ consciousness,
dwell within us.
Awaken us
to the inner light,
to divine love,
to unity with all.
Om. Peace.
Amen.